Okay, let's talk recruiting real quick. Okay.
Isaac has something to share, or at least he has an opinion that he wants to share. And I don't know if people are going to like your opinion, because you're not a fan of the recruiting process.
No.
But I'm with you. And I think many people out there that have never been recruited are going to maybe understand why you feel that way. How long have you had this feeling for, Isaac?
It kind of started in, I would say, that first like recruiting class after me, and then over the years it just got progressively worse.
From what you saw?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what?
What don't you like about the recruiting process, essentially?
Everything about it. Because I don't believe in, I mean, I believe that kids deserve, you know, scholarships. I believe that they deserve success. But I don't believe that they deserve to have their butts kissed by the coaches, by everybody, just so they can feel, if it's not real,
right.
If that makes sense.
Well, it's not.
It's not. No, because when you get to a program after you've gotten your butt kissed for however many years, however many months, and then you're part of the team. You know what I mean? And you're not. You know, the coaches aren't going to kiss your butt anymore. Nobody's going to play favorites anymore. And it's not going to be the way that is. And it's kind of fake.
It's unrealistic, right?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I've been asked multiple times, like, if I would go back and coach college, if I would go back. I would love to coach with Coach Harding. I'd love to, anywhere he is, at Utah, if he went somewhere else, I'd love to go with him. But the only reason I wouldn't do college coaching is because the recruiting attached to it. Because I refuse to sell lies to these kids. Like, if they're good, I'll tell them they're good, but I'll, you know.
You still got to earn it when you get there,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. But if you tell the kid, for example, you tell a kid he's great, you know, whatever, but if but you're also brutally honest with them, a lot of kids these days are going to take your name off of their list of schools they want to go to because, like, oh, that coach was rude or that guy was mean or whatever. And why? Because they can't handle the truth because they're, I mean, I get it, they're kids, but why? I just can't fathom how ridiculous recruiting has gotten.
No, it's out of control. Like, there's a reason Jack Tuttle's not part of the Utah football program right now. And a part of that reason is because of the stuff that was said throughout his recruitment process. You know, promises,
expectations,
for example.
Yeah.
You know, you will play early here at Utah. Well, reality flash, Jack, you threw more interceptions than both Jason Shirley and Tyler Huntley combined throughout spring ball and fall camp. You're clearly the third best quarterback. There's no way you're gonna play for at least a year. And that didn't end well. He transferred. He said, no, this is nonsense.
You know what I would have loved? And Isaac, this might be about what you were gonna say, but I would have loved to see Jack go, you know what? I'm not the best, and I'm gonna push through this, and next year I'm gonna be the best. I would have had so much more respect for that move than going, I'm going to jump into the transfer portal.
It's hard to
new transfer portal, Tommy. It's like the waiver wire.
Jack Tuttle, I imagine, for about 10 years prior to him stepping foot on the University of Utah, was told how great he was, how good he's going to be, and how easy it's going to be to get there. Whether it was his friends, his family, friends, whomever. College coaches towards the end of that. When you get told for so long you're going to be so good, that thought eventually sticks. And that's a lot of the recruitment process. And a lot of the problem with youth sports in America, in my opinion, as a whole, is if you're a talented athlete, you know, there's an ego built from a young age. And I think a lot of parents, I'll point fingers at parents, don't do a good enough job of grounding their children. And that's why the recruiting process is how it is. Will it ever change, do you think, Isaac?
No, I think it's going to keep getting worse because...
Well, because you see zombie videos and kids that take their shirts off four different times.
Social media.
Yes,
yeah.
Everything nowadays is about that storyline, the views and the how this is going to be received on social media, how many likes, how many comments, all this other garbage, except for the fact that, like, okay, this kid wants to go to this school for this reason. Why do you have to make such a ridiculous, you know, Make it such a ridiculous moment.
There's a Utah recruit right now, and I won't name names, but he pops up on my timeline all the time. I was speaking to a few of the players, right? He's this big social media guy. Anything Utah related, he's retweeting, subtweeting it, whatever you call it, being like, go Utes, you know, it just drives me nuts. But good for him. He's on top of it. I guess he followed every single Utah football player, and he's not on campus yet. He's having some grade issues, so there's a chance he might not even come. He plays defense. That's all I'll say. He followed every single Utah football player that's currently on the roster, and then when they followed him back, unfollowed him. Unfollowed the whole team. Just to get followers. That's where we're at.
That's Isaac's right. You're talking about engagement, and that's how everybody's gauging things. You want to know the cool story that came from this? I don't know if you saw this, and I can't remember exactly what the disability was of this guy's friend, but the guy brought his friend on stage. I want to say he had autism or he had something. It wasn't autism, but it was some sort of disability, and he let his friend announcement. And that's how it should be done, right? You're using your platform. That's the right spirit, right? It's not an ego boosting opportunity. It's
drives me nuts.
It's kind of like the next generation of kids who wanted to go to Oregon when Oregon started coming out with those jerseys. Now it's like, let's see how many people will be into me for what I'm about to do.
Yeah. How many times can I decommit and commit to different schools? Unbelievable. Got to take a short time out. But don't know if you've heard, Isaac Asiata, who happens to be our guest, is now best friends with Donovan Mitchell. We'll explain how next.
Here in Utah, we love making summer memories. But during those months, fatal crashes nearly double, making them Utah's 100 deadliest days. Don't let your summer memories turn into tragedies. Drive safely and make zero fatalities your goal.
Now, welcome back. After that break, we are hashtag blessed. Received so many offers. Cannot get over how many offers we receive. We want to thank all of you for your offers on Twitter. Follow us at SFGKSL. Check out some sweet sports content. Head over to kslsports.com. What you'll find there might interest you. One of my favorite pieces on the website, the Learn to Ski with Max and Andy podcast. And I will tell you what, Tom, I had listen to this. I go up to Solitude Resort with my boys. I had three different people come up to me and say, thank you for your podcast. We watched your videos. This is my kid's first day out here.
Right.
Three different people.
Well, that's good for you, Andy. My favorite piece on KSLSports.com is the love letter I wrote to the BYU faithful. Isaac, did you see that?
I didn't.
Isaac.
I'm sorry, bro.
We're going to have to read that. We're going to have to read that in between segments here.
Isaac,
episodes,
it started out rough, I have to admit. It turned into... It was a beautiful piece.
Are you talking about the skiing or my piece?
No, your piece.
Because your skiing piece turned out a bit rough at the start, too, I thought.
What are you talking about?
Sorry.
Long story short, I started off with hashtag blessed because we've got one more recruiting question for you. Tom brought it up a few weeks ago. We've seen it. It's turned into somewhat of a pattern now in the state of Utah. Top recruits are leaving the state.
So the last player, this is according to 24/7 Sports, mind you, so we do need to credit them, but the last top player from the state of Utah to go to the University of Utah, which, by the way, for however many years now, has been the destination in Utah. I mean, it's the top program, right? And I don't think even BYU fans aren't really arguing that at this point, but... In 2011, Harvey Lunge came to Utah. Now, he played one season, but he only had a couple carries, and they were late in games. He then went on his mission, and then he decided to go to BYU. So does that even count? I don't know. You guys can be the judge. But that was in 2011. Since then, nobody. I mean, we're looking at Cooper Bateman, Dalton Schultz, Osa Messina, who happens to be behind bars at the minute.
No, not true.
Jay Tufele. Is he out now?
He's out.
Okay, good for him. Well, hopefully he's got his life back together. Penei Sewell, what a player, Isaac. I'm sure you know a lot about him. And then, of course, this year, Puka Nacua going to UW. So
it's a trend. Why, Isaac, in your eyes, because Tom and I, again, aren't very familiar with Utah high school football or the recruiting process.
Quickly, it's worth noting that it's not just a trend in the state of Utah, even though we're making it seem like it. Like if you look at other states, Florida, Georgia, where some really big name guys come out of, the top recruit, you know, the chances of them going to an in-state school is still small. Now, whether it's as small as Utah, you know, 2011's quite a scary thought. I don't know, but it's not like this is just a trend in the state of Utah and everywhere else is grabbing the top recruits. Isaac?
Yes, 2011, me and Harvey were the same class. So Harvey was the top recruit, and then there was a tackle, and then there was me. And then when I was with Harvey and we talked about it, you know, I thought, you know, I knew he was going to go to Utah. I was going to go to Utah. Riker was going to go to BYU. And so when I talked to Harvey, Harvey was like, nah, man, we got to put Utah on the map. Like, we're going to put the 801 on the map. We're going to do it in Salt Lake. I was like, bet, let's do this, dude, you know. And then, I mean, he transferred 2 years later, but, you know, he still went to Utah. But when I, you know, while we both went through our recruiting process, and I've talked to Harvey now, it's kind of turned to which, you know, a lot of kids want to leave to get away from the state of Utah, which is fine. And, you know, they want to get out and get away from family and whatever. But then a lot of them just want to go to a big name school. I feel like that's one of the big recent things. But the problem is Utah is a big name school, but, you know, and still when you say, where did you go to college? Like for me, when I'm in the NFL, people are like, where did you go to school? I say Utah. They're like Utah State, or BYU, not like the University of Utah, you know, because they don't really know who Utah is. Like we've discussed it, that Utah is on the fringes of being an elite program. We're right there at the door. But a lot of kids just want to be like, okay, yeah, I'm going to the, you know, University of Southern California, or I'm going to Oregon. You know, it sounds cool. That's something cool they can tell people. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. When you look at this list, and, you know, I mean, Cooper Bateman went to Alabama. You had Dalton Schultz, pardon me, Simi Fehoka, both go to Stanford. Penne went to Oregon. Jay Tufele, Osa Messina, USC. I mean, these are big, big powerhouse programs. And, of course, yeah. Now Puka going to UW, which is, you know, a perennial program in itself under Chris Peterson. So, with all due respect to Arizona and the likes, Colorado, we're not losing the top recruits in the state to Arizona or Colorado. And I say that with all due respect, or UCLA even. You can throw them in the same kettle of fish. But these are big powerhouse programs.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
Well, people are, I mean, look.
Does kettle of fish make sense?
It doesn't. Josh and I are laughing. Kettle of fish. Like, what are you? You're cooking some fish.
I'm combining two expressions
is
together.
Is that like a fish in a barrel kind of?
Yes, look, my mother birthed me, and she's notorious for combining expressions together. So if you haven't figured this out already, I do the same thing, which isn't a great trait for radio, but.
But you can just pass it off as Australian. That's the thing.
Yeah, it's like, what are you guys laughing? You don't say that here? Idiots. Anyway.
No, it's. I mean, think about it. You think from a business perspective, networking perspective, you have an offer from Stanford, you have an offer from Utah or BYU. Strictly the weight that's being carried by a degree from Stanford outweighs BYU and Utah, no doubt.
Right.
The only reason why you would want to stay in state is that hometown hero status. Families close by, whatever it might be. Utah was maybe the first offer, and they've believed in you since you were ninth grade. Whatever it might be, right?
Yep.
Those are the reasons you stay in state. Otherwise, you're like, hey, I've been in Utah my whole life. I want to get out. I want to experience a different college. Stanford degree, heck yeah, count me in. USC degree, I don't know if that's.
You go there for the football.
You go there for the football and the ladies, right?
I almost went to UW like that. I almost switched my recruitment and. You know, I kind of talked to Coach Jay Hill about this because he was my recruiter at the time, but I really liked UW at the time.
Who was the head coach back then?
Sarkisian.
Sark the Shark.
But, I decided to stay because, I mean, I obviously wanted to go to Utah. I loved it. But my mom, like, none of my family would be able to go watch me play. Can't afford it. You know, there's different things, I believe, you know, and each kid is different. But I think... one of the biggest things is, like, what's the prestigious school you said you went to? USC carries a lot more weight than Utah. And that's not an offense to the Utah program because there's a lot building on it. But when you say I went to USC, that means something.
Yeah. D1 Did you grow up a Utah fan?
Yeah.
Okay. So that has to play into it. Yeah. I think.
And a Utah Jazz fan. And Isaac on Twitter reached out to Donovan Mitchell. I believe this was the first initial contact to get the man some chip cookies. That ended up being a success.
That's how it all started.
That's how it all started, Tommy.
Okay, can we have some background story, please? I've been living under a rock.
Isaac, take it away, man.
Okay. On my phone, whatever, and then it popped up on my Twitter that, you know, Donovan Mitchell was looking for Chip Cookie. I have a very close personal relationship with the owners of Chip Cookie, and I'm not biased. They're the best cookie in the state. I truly believe it.
Yeah.
So
this was on the was this like the Super Bowl? They were close.
No, it was before the Super Bowl. That was what happened after. Okay, so this is back.
Sorry, I'm lost.
No, you're good. This was back. Jeez.
Kettle of fish or something.
End of January, right before the Super Bowl started. So I saw on Twitter he was looking for some chip cookie. So I asked him, I tweeted at him, I said, send me your address, I'll take care of it from there. I got his address, sent him cookies. I contacted the company, they were ecstatic, they were so stoked to go. They went, took him cookies, but they ended up taking it to him and the entire Utah Jazz after one of their games, and they loved it. And so, you know, they reached back out to me, invited me to come to a game. Me and my wife went to the game. We met with him after, wanted to do a jersey swap jerseys at the game. His jersey is now framed on my wall. Mine's just probably in a closet somewhere. But nonetheless, Donovan was an amazing guy, super nice dude. He respectful, took some time to meet with my wife. It was great.
Does he follow you on Twitter?
He doesn't follow me on Twitter, but he does follow me on Instagram.
Okay, take it.
I would take that in a heartbeat.
He doesn't follow Andy or I on any platform.
There are two parts that I want to call out here, Isaac. Tom and I have been trying to get a cookie at Chip Cookie for the last 3-4 months.
I'll order it right now.
No. I mean, we want a cookie of the month, all right?
Oh.
We want an SFG cookie, a specialist cookie, something like that.
Andy.
What, Tom?
You're fighting in 8 weeks' time. You can't be having cookies.
No,
you
but
fat
it could
pig.
Be. You know how, like, after Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl, what? He says, I'm going to Disneyland. Guess what? I could say, after I win my fight, I'm having a chip cookie, baby.
That would be the most Utah thing I think I've ever heard.
What would be your cookie of the month?
Well, there would be some caramel. Tom and I haven't quite talked about it yet.
Well, this is Andy's cookie.
It has to be unique. It can't be like any other. That's the thing. If it's a cookie of the month, it can't have anything similar. To
like your atypical chocolate chip or peanut butter or
yes.
Reese's or whatever. Yeah, we need to work out the details still. We need the initial contact, Isaac. So that's where you're going to come in.
I'm going to sneak this in here for promotional purposes. I have a cookie of the month coming up. I will not say when. I will not say what.
What?
But stay tuned. Follow Chip Cookie.
Okay.
Stay close to them.
We got
to
talk, Isaac.
All I can say.
The second piece that shocked me is I'm looking at this photo of the mammoth that is Isaac Asiata, this man that is just a boulder rock figure in my life, and then Donovan Mitchell, who is your same height. In fact, he might even be is he a tiny bit taller than you?
Just a little bit.
But
I was wearing boots.
But he weighs what? He probably weighs 220, 230?
I wish I weighed 230. Yeah, probably.
I mean, it just goes to show you, like, if you've ever stood by Isaac, you go, okay, Isaac's a big dude. That's why he's playing O-line in the NFL. And then you realize that Donovan is a guard in the league.
He's a small guard,
A
too,
small guard, too. I mean, that's incredible. You don't realize how big. You can't get a scale. And then I got that scale, and I was like, geez, NBA players are massive.
They're tall.
They're massive. Gobert must be I mean, there's a reason they call him the Stifle Tower.
In
right?
terms of width, though, I mean, I think you are about 2 Donovan Mitchells.
I'm about 3 Donovan Mitchells.
3.
Yes.
You take pride in that, don't you?
I do, because blocking's a lot easier.
You had a coach who was at the Dolphins, special teams coordinator, and that's why this is relevant. He just got a job with the New Orleans Saints.
Yep. Darren Rizzi.
Darren Rizzi.
Great. Great coach.
You posted about this on Twitter, and I'm curious. You as an offensive lineman, how you become so close, I should say, with the special teams coordinator. This makes me happy, I hope you know. And Andy, I'll speak on behalf of both of us.
We have about two, maybe two special teams where the whole team is in there every day, meetings. And then we also have, you know, it's for him, he has everybody in the room because there's always something about the game of football you can learn from special teams is what he taught to us. And so we would have these once a week we'd have a meeting where it's called Plays of the Week. And it's basically you watch people screw up on special teams and you laugh at them, but then you correct it. He corrects it and tells you what you should do. But then, you know, you're in these meetings and you're kind of like, okay, like I play O-line, like why am I watching gunners and why am I watching all these things? But then every time you go back to these meetings, you all of a sudden start remembering like all the different rules and terms and all these different things about special teams. And it kind of rounds out your knowledge of the game of football.
That's cool.
But, you know, he makes it an entertaining meeting. He's a great coach. You know, I have a lot of respect for him. I'm excited for him to go to New Orleans, but I hate to see him go, but I'm excited to see what he does down there.
If I asked you top three coaches of all time, no particular order, would he be in there?
For me?
Yeah.
You
didn't know him as
I didn't know him
as long.
You know, as long, you know, I would say there's other guys in three. He's for sure in the top five, top ten.
Coach Harding's obviously in the top three.
Yes.
High school coach?
Yes.
What's his name?
Todd Jackson.
Todd Jackson. Still down at Spanish Fork?
He is coaching Springville now.
Oh, who? Are they rivals?
Yeah,
oh,
rivals.
You still feel the love?
Yeah, I love him. I love him if he was going to BYU or whatever. Okay. He's a Utah guy. He played at Utah.
All right. We're going to keep you around. I hope that's all right.
Yeah, I'll be here.
This one's dropping on, sometime early in the week, and then we're going to post another one on Thursday. And the Thursday one's big, I hope you guys know, because the conversation of can Utah make the college football playoff for the first time in school history in 2019, can it occur? There are reasons why I think it can. I'm intrigued to hear what Isaac, Andy, I'm intrigued to hear what you have to say about it too. But all that coming up, make sure you check out Isaac on Twitter at SEAdat54, spell the 5, FIVE, at KSL Sports. You need to check out for all that good content. And of course, at SFGKSL on Twitter. We love you. See you in a couple of days.